Skip the ramen noodles. Don't even think about a frozen pizza. It's time to find out where you'll enjoy some drinks and dinner tonight.
Arizona Guy Fieri here from Diners, Drive-Ins, and Dives on the Food Network. I hope you'll be listening to On the Menu Live with the Madman, Matt Russell.
On KNST.
And welcome, fellow foodies, to another delicious hour on radio. Thank you so much for tuning in like you do every Saturday at 4 o'clock right here on AM 790 KNST. And if you are a craft beer comrade, if you are one of my fellow hopheads who is looking for some great craft beer opportunities all across Southern Arizona, you don't have to look far. We are actually broadcasting live from the newest tap room to hit the Tucson craft brew scene. We are here with a lot of U of A Wildcat fans at Pueblo Vita Brewing Company, 115 East Broadway, and I tell you what, Kyle Jefferson, the owner brewer, has rolled out the red carpet for all craft brew heads across Southern Arizona. We are going to get to learn a little bit more about this Kyle guy and find out what it takes to break out in the world of craft beer and find out a little bit about his own personal journey, which, friends, is very interesting. This is a guy who knows a lot about beer, and he knows what it takes to put a smile on the face of hopheads everywhere. Again, please come on downtown and join us on this spectacular Saturday afternoon, Pueblo Vita Brewing Company, 115 East Broadway. Now, all of our listeners know when we start a show about beer, and we're going to be talking about the craft suds scene here in Southern Arizona, there are two guys that have been on the show more times than we can count, but this is historical because we're actually having them here on site together on the same show. We've got two celebrity co-hosts for the full hour, from Latier Films, Scott Latier, and from Russell Public Communications, Jason Miko. What's going on, my brothers?
Hey, Mr. Matt, Mr. Jason, how are you?
Mr. Latier, how are you?
Cheers.
Well, here we are. Nice indeed. To see you, my beer brethren.
Yes, indeed.
You know what? Here we are. You know, I think it sounds like a new brewery is opening here in Southern Arizona at the blink of an eye, and I had to come down here to get the sort of the story behind the early success of these guys at Pueblo Vita. Scott, this is your first time down here.
Indeed, and you know, it's lovely being surrounded by the tanks. We're broadcasting actually surrounded by the tanks.
Yes.
Quite literally.
Literally, Brown. It's just
the ambiance, the smell, the, you know, just soak it all in, literally.
Yeah. It drips beer, literally.
Yeah. The hops, the yeast. You know, all
can you
the
smell
wonderful
it?
Nose.
Hang on.
Oh. Nose. Yeah, exactly. We are broadcasting literally, Scott, as you said, it is a surround sound experience of barrels. Now, I'm actually drinking, I think it was recently tapped just a couple of days ago, an American Pale Ale, a beautifully hopped brew with a respectable ABV. I think somewhere in the kind of in the mid
5.67. It's
exactly.
A sessionable beer.
It's a sessionable beer, and this is, and I'm making my way through it a little bit more quickly than I thought I was going
because
to.
It's so easy.
But
drinking.
I'll take a little bit of time. Jason, what are you drinking?
I'm drinking the same thing, Matt. It's the it's the American Pale Ale from Pueblo Vita, 5.67%. It's got about 65 IBUs, I think, so it's for the hopheads like us.
Beautiful.
We enjoy this.
Nice time of year to enjoy this, too.
Perfect.
It's such a beautiful day out. Now, I'm going to reveal my craft beer moment of the week, and I've asked you guys to kind of think about that because, you know, with every passing day, I think we all chalk up a craft beer story of our own, and I had a couple of days ago, on my last visit to the address at 1702 right over there on Speedway, I picked up a bomber of the Smoking Wood Imperial Porter cask-aged smoked beer, 14%. It was a glorious beer experience, and you know, I cracked it open with a buddy of mine, put a fire on in the fireplace outside, a little chill in the air, Smoking Wood beer knocked my socks off.
Did you have a cigar?
I had a cigar.
Right,
anytime you have smoke and wood in the same sentence, yeah, you fire up a big cigar. So, Jason, what has been on your craft beer trails this week?
Well, actually, funny you mentioned that. A week ago, I was up in the Phoenix area, and I thought to myself, you know what? I'm going to stop by Fate Brewing Company because I knew they had the Candy Bar Milk Stout on tap. And I went by there, and I picked up a growler of it. Actually, the growler, which is now sitting in my refrigerator resting nicely, is a Pueblo Vita growler. So I actually had to bring an empty growler from Huss Brewing of Tempe here to Pueblo Vita today. So it's resting. I haven't opened it, but you know what, Matt? I don't know if I'm going to make it through the night without opening that growler.
Well, that would be remarkable restraint on your part.
It would be.
You and I had a lovely trip up to Phoenix, I think was it probably this time last year.
Indeed.
When they
first started brewing it,
the Candy Bar Milk Stout, a glorious stout experience. Now, one of our guests coming up here in a few minutes is Sarah Ritchie, Craft Beer Betty. She actually enjoyed the Candy Bar Milk Stout as her 10.3 million followers on Instagram were able to see. This is a beer that's getting a lot of attention.
Oh, it is. It is liquid. It's a liquid Snickers bar. They actually have to put a warning label on it that says contains peanuts.
That's right.
For allergies. So,
that's right. Well, it's a great beer. But, yeah, so the smoking wood on my end. And
candy
then the
bar
candy milk,
bar milk
stout. Now, Scott, you're a guy who knows his way around a bomber, a growler, a tap, a kettle, a keg. You've probably been doing some interesting things on the craft beer scene this week as well.
I do not mind exploring a tad bit. So this past week I was at the Napa Valley Film Festival, bombing around the Napa Valley, looking at movies, promoting our own little Big Red Friday movie that I'm working on with Mr. Jay Dobbins. We'll get into that later. But one of the things, I mean, you're surrounded by some amazing wines, of course, up there, and we had our fair share of those.
I'm sure.
And but we did. I did stumble across an amazing brew that I had never had from a brewery I've never heard of up in Northern California. It's called Drake's Brewing Company up there. They have an Imperial IPA up there called a Denogonizer.
Oh, I love it.
The name alone, right?
Just like it already.
Yes, please. And so we poured one of those. I found them in two places up in Calistoga, and poured one of those at about 4:30, just as the sun was getting nice and low in the Napa Valley there.
Beautiful.
And my good friend Jay's not used to the hearty brews, and he had one of those, and it blew his skirt up, as they say. it was delicious. He said, "Boy, this tastes really good." And I said, yes, I must concur. It was delicious.
Denogonator.
Denogonizer.
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 After noggin.
Yes.
Your head.
And it's from the Drake Brewing Company up there, and it's I don't have the stats in front of me, but one pint did the trick.
It worked.
Yeah.
If you can find a pint that does the trick, do
it. It was a sweet, citrusy, Imperial IPA, which was just
gorgeous.
Fantastic.
So,
absolutely.
So, now, I revealed to our listeners that I'm enjoying this new American Pale Ale that Kyle just tapped a couple of days ago, this lovely hopped, respectable ABV, as Jason said, a sessionable a pale ale. He's having the same thing. Now, you chose to go a different route for your inaugural beer of the – is this your first beer today?
This is my first beer of the day. It's my first beer of
wow.
the brewing company of Pueblo Vita. It's my first taste.
Bravo.
And this is a historical moment. What are you drinking?
I'm having the Fest.
Oh, the new Fest.
Yes, and I'm going to get into Kyle's deep into the weeds with how the Fest is made and how much malt, et cetera. But it's very malty. It's about a 6.75 ABV, okay? It's about 30 IBUs, which is, again, just goes down sweet and smooth. And it's a perfect little Oktoberfest-y style fall crisp. In the air kind of taste, right?
I was just going to say, in the spirit of the season
is indeed.
The Fest. And again, that's what, you know, they're constantly, the vision here is to just rotate with the seasons and rotate with the what's in the air and what's fresh and what's new. There's a beer for every personality and palate here at Pueblo Vita. We're going to be talking to our good friend Kyle Jefferson, who's going to be telling us all about that. But I would be remiss if I did not say hats off to our good friend Frank Santos from Frankie's
goodness,
South Philly Cheesesteaks.
Indeed.
He heard we were going to be broadcasting from Pueblo Vita. He sent over a catering tray of cheesesteaks and cheesesteak egg rolls and green bean fries. As a matter of fact, the U of A women's basketball team, they just used Frankie's to cater this huge event, and they ordered these cheesesteak egg rolls. These are fantastic.
Oh, my
God.
Have
you had a chance to try some
of these? I had one, and the plate is sitting here. I don't want to be a hog and, like, eat them all. We need to share them, but there's no more.
There's no more green bean
fries.
No
more green bean fries. Jason warned me. They're addictive.
Indeed.
Do not step into the – and
right.
I stepped in, and
well,
it's –
We're going to take a quick commercial break and thank a couple of sponsors. And when we come back, we're going to be talking to the man of the hour himself, Kyle Jefferson from Pueblo Vita, to get a little sense of his own beer journey, which ultimately ascended him to the top of his career here at this glorious tap room that now calls Tucson home. You're listening to On the Menu Live, AM 790. It's Matt Russell broadcasting live from the Pueblo Vita Brewing Company, 115 East Broadway. Stick around. We'll be right back.
How's it going, Tucson? Jeff Morrow here from the Sandwich King on the Food Network. Thanks for listening to On the Menu Live with my buddy Matt Russell.
And welcome back to On the Menu Live. It's Matt Russell broadcasting live from the Pueblo Vita Brewing Company, 115 East Broadway, in the heart of downtown Tucson, having a great time for our craft beer hour with celebrity co-hosts Scott Letier and Jason Miko, having a great time making our way through these suds.
Indeed we are. Yeah, I'm looking forward to the next round.
Yeah, round two's coming up, right, Matt?
You know, round two is coming up, and I tell you what better person to come on and enjoy the next part of the show with, because this, we are standing, or as you say, sitting, surrounded by, as you said, the kettles, the tanks, and the man behind the kettle and the tank, the man behind the early success of Pueblo Vita Brewing Company, owner, brewer, Kyle Jefferson. Kyle, how you doing?
Good, Matt. Thanks for having me.
Well, thanks for having us, Kyle.
Yes, indeed.
It's not every day we can spend a Saturday here, you know, having some great craft beer and talking to a guy who's already become an icon in this community.
Yeah, I appreciate it. It's fun to be back here in the brew house, surrounded by the fermenters, the brew house. So we brewed yesterday, so there's still some residual smell back here. So it's fun.
Nothing wrong with that, man.
No, no.
So we're going to be talking with you a little bit later on in the show about some of the new handles that you have, a little bit about the spirit and the philosophy behind your brewing. But we wanted to get a sense of the whole kind of story about Pueblo Vida. So as I understand it, you graduated from the University of Arizona.
Yep.
With a degree in finance.
Yes.
And then what did you do, Kyle?
I did not do finance. So my girlfriend and I went to, she's also involved in the brewery as well, Lynette Antheon. We graduated in 2009. There was really no job market for business grads, so we decided to go for our dream. So I moved back to Seattle, got an internship at Lazy Boy Brewing Company up in the Everett area, brewed up there for 2 years, and with always having plans to come back to Tucson. Tucson's my second home. I'm a fourth generation Tucsonan. My great grandmother lived here. My grandma lives here. My mom was born here. My uncle, who's involved in the company as well, lives here. So Tucson was home.
Beautiful.
And so we got back about 2 years ago. Took us about a year and a half to find the space downtown. But it's a beautiful building. We lucked out, and now we're here enjoying the beer.
I mean, they say location, location, location. I could not imagine a better venue. I mean, this building was built before in the
1918. It was started in 1916, and finished in 1918. The wood that's in here was milled up on Mount Lemmon. It's old Mount Lemmon pine. So there's a lot of history. It's fun to be surrounded by craftsmen's work with the brick and the wood, and we're making beer, craft beer, in this building. So it's really a nice ambiance.
And what was your idea? When did the craft beer idea hit you? I mean, is it, you know, you get your degree and you think, okay, now what? Was this kind of the dream, as you said, with you and your girlfriend going back during your college years?
It was always in the back of our mind. I grew up in Seattle, so craft beer, I mean, the small town I grew up in had three craft breweries, and there's 14,000 people in it. So there's a million people in Tucson when we graduated, and there were three breweries. So there was a market. We saw a market. We wanted to bring what we saw in Seattle, the craft brew atmosphere to Tucson. So we went back, we learned, and now we're back here, and we're part of the community now.
I think we got about, what, 10 craft breweries now here in Tucson, with another three or four online.
Yeah, I think we are 10. And hopefully there are a few more online, but hopefully we get to 30. Hopefully we get to 40. Hopefully we become San Diego, Seattle, Portland.
And that's what I just love about your spirit, Kyle, is because a lot of other businesses, you know, when there's somebody else that opens up down the street or across town that's in the same business you are, and a lot of business owners go, okay, great, now we got more competition. But you and I chatted a little bit before the show, and you said competition doesn't have any place among craft brewers. It's about collaboration.
Absolutely, absolutely. The owner of 1055, JP, we always joke with each other that we want part-time jobs at each other's brewery. So that's how much camaraderie there is. And we've had so much support. Our early success has been because of the craft brewing community, the guys from Dragoon, Borderlands, Thunder Canyon, Barrio, Iron John, Sentinel Peak. Forgive me if I'm leaving somebody out.
But you know what? The whole idea of the collaboration thing and the community thing, and let's work at making the best product that they all can in a competitive spirit, but not in a nasty, mean way. Because, come on, we're making beer.
There's a great scene in Bottle Shock about the Judgment of Paris from 1976, and one of the vintners in California, actually the winner, I forgot the name of the what he brewed, the Chardonnay, but he says if one of us wins, we all win.
Right.
And that's
exactly
the same spirit.
And now look at Napa now, the whole valley. I mean, heck, we were just there. As a matter of fact, I watched the first half of that movie last night, as a matter of fact. But that's the spirit. You guys, spirit, no pun intended. It's about trying to make the best. It's a fun thing, for crying out loud. We're sitting here surrounded by the fermenters.
Yeah, we're
drinking fine craft brew and talking to a guy who, 10 years ago, I was thinking the same thing. If only there were somebody doing it like San Diego's doing it,
right.
Like Durango's doing it, like, you know, Seattle's doing it. Why is Tucson
falling behind?
And Kyle
says we have a lot of catching up to do. I mean, 3 craft beers for 1 million people, you know, 8 years ago, you know, we got some work to do.
Well, yeah, we got a lot of work to do. But it's all been positive. I have a couple kids that are helping me out now that have plans to open their own breweries in the future. And I can't wait. That's going to be an I've made it moment when somebody who has worked under me opens a brewery and I can see their artistic beer making come to life.
And I would think that Sean Loring up at Lazy Boy Brewing right outside of Seattle is celebrating exactly what you just said, because that was him and you.
Yep, absolutely.
Just a few years ago. Anyway, Kyle Jefferson with Pueblo Vita, thanks again for hosting this craft beer hour.
Yes, man. He needs to get back to work, please. We need more beer.
Anyway, we're going to catch up with Kyle just a little bit later, but when we come back, yes, our advertisers love when this next guest comes on, because yes, our numbers go through the roof. Sarah Ritchie herself, craft beer Betty, is going to join us live and talk a little bit about what's going on in her world and reveal her own craft beer moment of the week. You don't want to miss 1 minute. You're listening to On the Menu Live on AM 790 KNST. Stick around. We'll be right back.
Hey, all you barbecue pitmasters out there in Arizona. This is Ray Lampe, Dr. Barbecue, and you're listening to On the Menu Live with my pal Matt Russell. It's the most delicious hour on radio, and it's only here on KNST.
And welcome back to On the Menu Live. It's Matt Russell broadcasting live deep in the heart of happiness here at Pueblo Vita Brewing Company, 115 East Broadway. We are here with our celebrity co-hosts for the hour from Latier Films, Scott Latier, and from Russell Public Communications, Jason Miko. Our cups have leaks in them. I think we got to do something about this glassware.
I was going to say, mine's
another one here.
But we're going to do something about that.
You can see this on radio
because it's all about service.
In radio, they call that a tease.
It's a tease. Yes, exactly.
What will be coming up in the next segment?
We're going to be taking a flight tasting of the brews here at Pueblo Vita. But first, we wanted to get to one of our special guests because we like to have her come on and as you know, she has her finger on the pulse of the regional craft beer community, and she needs no introduction to this audience. Craft beer Betty herself, Sarah Ritchie. Hey, girl, what's going on?
Hey, glad to be back.
Nice to see you, girl.
Thank you. Good to be seeing.
So, Pueblo Vita, come on. Is this not a great place or what?
It's fantastic. I was harassing Kyle before they opened that they've got the perfect location. They've got this really cool old building with the old brick. They've got these amazing equipment that they've brought in, and the beer better not suck. And I am really thrilled to say that it does not suck.
Thank God the beer doesn't suck. You know, these are spectacular suds here. And I love your smile and your nodding of affirmation because, as says Craft Beer Betty, so says the world.
Oh.
I'm just saying. But anyway, give us an update. What's going on with the Girls Pint Out these days?
We just recently celebrated our first anniversary, packed the house, raised some money for a nonprofit. We were really, really happy about that. We are about to brew a Girls Pint Stout. We're going to do it a Russian Imperial Stout with Mario on December 13th. We're really excited about that.
And
we're still selecting the
women's.
Mario.
We're bringing the girls in with Mario. Oh. And we're still choosing the female nonprofit organization that we're going to raise money for with these keg events for the draft beers that we produce from it. And we are going to support our buddies over at Dragoon for their expansion party on the 3rd at 3. So we're going to bring a group of girls for that. We're excited about them doubling the size of their brewery.
Love it. And for our listeners that might not know about Girls Pint Out, give us a little color on that.
We are an organization that supports the involvement and education of women in craft beer. So we do usually 2 events a month, 1 social event that gentlemen are welcome to, and 1 educational event that's for women only. So our social event will be Dragoon this month. Our ladies-only event will be our collaboration brew with Barrio.
I love it. Now, I think I'm actually an honorary member of Tucson Girls Pint Out, aren't I?
Of course, absolutely.
And I tell my son, you know, son, you work hard, you give it all you got, and maybe one day you too can be a member of Tucson Girls Pint Out.
Here, here.
You're lucky.
I love it.
If you're lucky.
So you mentioned this Imperial Russian Stout. Now, our listeners know that when it comes to stouts, Sarah Ritchie likes hers big and boozy. Is this going to tilt the scales on the ABV end, or is it too early to tell?
I don't know what it's going to end up at, but it should be a high ABV. And I'm hoping to harass Dennis into getting a couple of barrels for aging for at least part of the batch.
Oh, yes.
Oh, yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, we're going to have to be there for this. the historic tapping of this great brew.
Yes, please.
What's going on? Pitcher of nectar these days, Sarah.
We're just getting in our holiday beers. Those are out in the stores now. So we've got the exciting Ridgeway beers from the UK with the bad elf, the very bad elf, the insanely bad elf, and the seriously very, very, very bad elf.
You've been a naughty elf this year.
He looks like an angry elf. Call me angry elf one more time.
And for those that are bad, you've got the lump of coal stout. So that's good for the stocking stuffers.
I love it. So we've all been sharing our personal craft beer moments of the week. I had this gorgeous 14% smoking wood. Jason had the candy bar milk stout. Scott talked about his
the denogonizer.
Of all the craft beer moments that you had this week, is there one that rises to the top to celebrate?
Of course.
And the survey says?
It really made my week. I got to meet Jeffers Richardson, the head of Barrel Works and the co-founder of Firestone Walker. Thursday night at a draft event at Tap and Bottle.
You are blessed.
Not only that, but I had this amazing flight of sours that they produce, and the 2014 Agrestic was my hands-down favorite.
Oh, my goodness.
And then after I finished the flight, Jeffers comes out of the basement from a meeting where he's training the Finley people. And he comes to me from the bar, and he thinks he's already met me, and he recognizes me. And then he says, oh, no, of course, I introduced myself. And he says, of course, we've met. And I said, no, not until right now, only on social media. He knew me from Instagram and Twitter.
Of course he did. You know, you've got this global brand, for crying out loud. And we should say, before we forget, Craft Beer Betty on Instagram, Craft Beer Betty on Twitter, Craft Beer Betty, wherever fine beers are sold.
Pinterest, I mean, anything else.
Pinterest, yep. It's everywhere. And your idea with Craft Beer Betty, where did that all come from?
It originated as Pie Betty, because back in the day I had lofty dreams of possibly opening a pie bakery. And then I sat down and did a business plan and realized that it would kind of suck the fun out of pie baking if I had to do it for work. So it started as a Pie Betty on Instagram. And once I realized the light bulb went off and I realized I should pursue my dreams of craft beer stardom, I changed it to Craft Beer Betty. So Betty is an acronym for another word for a cute girl. It comes from the Archie comics from the 40s and 50s. So that's kind of
just
how I came about my handle.
So you and Kyle are really the only two people in this room that have chased their craft beer dreams. Scott and Jason are chasing them. But
I catch mine 12 ounces at a time. What are you talking about?
Or 22.
So I see that you, surprise, surprise, you've gone for the stout. Now, we're going to have a little bit of this in our tasting, but what do you want to share some observations on this beer?
Oh, it's smooth and it's malty and it's got the chocolate malts that I just love. It gives that nice bitterness, and it's just delicious. I love Kyle Stout.
I think originally when he opened, he was calling it the breakfast stout. Now it's the American stout, and I think, you know, it's not just for breakfast anymore. You know, you can have it for lunch, for dinner, or for a late evening drink.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, we're probably going to want to talk to Kyle about that during this tasting. I'm glad you brought that up, because he's the guy who says if you're looking for a good food beer pairing, the stout goes great with eggs and bacon.
Absolutely.
And there's an affirmation from Craft Beer Betty.
Of course.
So, again, where can people find you online? How can people get in touch with you if they want to explore creative events for Girls Pine Out or anything to sort of become a part of what you're doing? How can they find you?
On Twitter at Craft Beer Betty, on Twitter for Tucson GPO for Tucson Girls Pine Out, and on Facebook, Tucson Girls Pine Out.
Girls Pine Out. And, a large and loyal Facebook community. Friends, go on all of her social media properties. Get to know Sarah. Buy her beer the next time you see her.
Yes, please.
Sit down with her, and really, you really are talking to someone who has a true, unyielding passion for what craft beer is, and not in this sort of way that this trendy way. I mean, there's a lot of people that are in this business to sort of ride a wave or those kinds of things. You know, this is authentic. This
true
is
believers.
Where the spirit is. We are absolute true believers. Anyway, Craft Beer Betty, Sarah Ritchie, always great catching up with you.
Much.
Well, let's have some beer for the rest of the
Absolutely.
Hour.
Cheers.
We're going to take a news break and thank a couple of sponsors. And when we come back, we're going to be taking on a flight tour of the brews that are here at Pueblo Vida. And you do not want to miss 1 minute. It's Matt Russell from Pueblo Vida Brewing Company on the menu live, AM 790 KNST. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
Spice up your Saturday night. He'll tell you where to have fun tonight. On the Menu with Matt Russell is on KNST.
And welcome back to On the Menu Live. It's Matt Russell broadcasting live from Pueblo Vida Brewing Company, 115 East Broadway, having a great time, making our way through an hour that goes by
way too fast.
From Latier Films, Scott Latier. From Russell Public Communications, Jason Meekle.
Two-hour show.
Right to KNST. Demand that On the Menu Live is 2 hours.
Yep.
And write to KVOA and demand that this go on TV. Write to whoever you want and tell them you need more on the menu live. But anyway, we're here with our special guest for the hour from Pueblo Vida Brewing Company, owner brewer Kyle Jefferson. And Kyle, you have just made a special delivery here, and this is the point in the show where I have been rendered speechless. Yes. What have you done, sir?
These are our flights. So these are our four beers that we have on tap. We're going to go right to left from the lightest to the darkest. So there's a certain way you want to taste beers. You don't want to fatigue your taste buds.
I don't like it when my taste buds get fatigued.
That's the worst ever.
Really. And so we want to make sure that we honor the spirit of the craft, take a little bit of time, and really get to know each of these beers. Now, so you said that there's sort of a protocol for tasting the flight. You've got four of the beers that you currently have on tap.
Correct.
And you're suggesting that we begin from the left-hand side of the board. And let me just say, these are gorgeous tasting boards, these flight boards here.
They're made out of the old hardwood floor that we had to pull out for the brew house.
So you've repurposed.
Repurposed that. Those took a long time to make. So they're one of a kind. 100-year-old floorboards out.
Just beautiful. Mm. And for anybody that wants to get a sense of what's going on here, and if Scott and Sarah just keep taking pictures of each other.
I'm with Craft Beer Betty taking selfies. Sorry.
Anyway, I'm sure you can see these pictures on Instagram, Craft Beer Betty, Instagram, Latier Films. And because I'm talking, at some point tonight,
It is your show after all.
On Instagram, that's right, and on Facebook and wherever craft beer is sold. But anyway, Kyle Jefferson, talk about the beers, and let's begin on the left. What do we got going?
Okay, we have our Fest Ale. So the story behind this is it was supposed to be an Oktoberfest, but we opened later than we thought we would.
And Novemberfest just didn't have a ring to it.
Yeah, so we went with Fest Ale. So traditional Oktoberfest, a German lager, it is lagered. The yeast type is a lager. We used an ale. It's going to be more fruity esters. It's going to be a little fruitier, not as dry, but still all the same qualities. So it's very malty. It's very crisp. It pairs really well with your Thanksgiving meal.
Mm.
My mother, who's also involved a lot in the brewery, did a whole write-up on pairing beers with your Thanksgiving meal. And so that goes really well with ham, really well with turkey. So any kind of dark lager, malty beer goes really well.
I think it's great. You've just hit on something that I think is pretty cool. And, I love gourmet premium wines. And, we celebrate wines on the show all the time. What an interesting idea, Kyle, about bringing beer onto the Thanksgiving table and pairing up your beers with traditional Thanksgiving food. Yeah. Should there be a growler at the centerpiece of every Thanksgiving?
Here, here.
Hey, I
second the motion.
We just want a little room on the table.
Just
so the brewers just want a little room on the table.
They keep it themselves at the end, you know.
And you can still pour it in your grandma's old crystal. I mean, it's appropriate to use that glassware because everybody likes to pull out their fine china,
right?
Their beautiful glassware.
Dress it up a little bit. Now, I love my esters fruity, so I think I'm going to have a good time with this beer. So is there a traditional German salutation toast that we should offer?
Prost, I believe.
What is it?
Prost?
Prost.
Prost.
Prost. Prost. Okay. Yeah. Gentlemen, ladies. Okay. Now, Mr.
Kyle,
right.
I started my afternoon with this one.
Malt. It, just
I hope this is a compliment. I do like the Spaten Oktoberfest when it comes out. This actually tastes much better.
Beautifully balanced.
Yes, the malty balance in there is just.
Oh, that's just. And the mouthfeel of that malt when it just sort of comes cascading across the palate. That's a gorgeous beer. Mm.
Thank you. I appreciate it. It's a very simple beer. It's just three grains in there.
Listen to him.
How modest.
How humble. Just another day at the office.
How hard can it be?
No, it's a simple beer.
I didn't make up the style. The style is. So we can thank Germany.
And what coincidence. It's going great with this cheesesteak. I mean, but that's just me. Okay, so the Fest. On tap now. Through the holidays?
Through the holidays until we run out. We're a small brewery, so we only have 7 barrels. That's our brew house size. That's 14 half-barrel kegs. As soon as we go through that, we're done next year.
And how does it, because I always get it confused, that translates to how many 16-ounce pints?
There's 124 pints in a half-barrel keg.
Okay.
Which is 15 and a half gallons.
All right.
Wow.
Wow. Okay.
That's cool. So, what a great question.
Come on down.
Come on down. Right. This might not last through the holidays.
Yeah.
But anyway, come on down and try this. A gorgeous fest. Beautiful place to start the flight tasting. Where are we going now, man?
We're going back to Germany. It's our Bavarian Hefeweizen. So the traditional Bavarian Hefeweizen, banana, clove on the nose.
Yes.
Very crisp. Very drinkable. We ferment it a little bit slower or a little bit lower than traditionally people do. So it's faint banana, it's faint clove. I feel it becomes a little bit more drinkable and a little bit more appropriate for people that aren't craft beer connoisseurs, I guess you could say.
The flavors are definitely more subtle for the people that don't need to be hit in the face.
Good call, Kyle. Yeah. It's a good call. I mean, yeah. I think the word approachable comes to mind. I mean, it's just a delicate note of the clove.
I love the banana in there,
a little
though,
bit of
right?
banana. I'm almost getting just a little bit of anise on the back. I don't know where that's coming from, but it's just beautiful. Again, spice of the season, but done in a way where you have not sacrificed the integrity of the brew. And you're not, you know, eating a loaf of banana bread in a glass.
Yeah, exactly.
This is just beautiful. Again,
I appreciate
perfect
it.
Time of year to enjoy this Bavarian brew. ABV on this one, Kyle?
ABV is, forgive me, 5.4. So
he doesn't have these things memorized? What's up?
You guys have had me drinking for the last 2 hours, so
it's called show prep, Kyle.
Show
prep. Professional radio.
Our listeners demand quality.
I'm not quite as professional as you guys are yet.
Again, it is delicious.
Just
isn't it?
As you said, it's not over the
that
top.
That banana aftertaste is divine.
And it's just the finish. Ugh. It's that gorgeous finish, fall finish, flavors mm-hmm. of the season. Okay, so where do you even go from here, Kyle?
We turn up the hops a little bit. So
ooh, here we go.
Unfortunately, we had a Northwest style IPA on tap. We ran out.
That's because we kept coming.
Yeah.
Russell, guilty. You've already been here this week.
So it'll be coming back on tap. But we instead of that, we tried to go a little bit more sessionable. We did an American Pale Ale, and we dry hopped it. So the hops aren't lost. You still have.
I was going to say, for the uninitiated great. Hopper out there, explain dry hopping.
Great question. Okay.
Dry hopping is done post-fermentation, post-boil. Mm. So the process is, in layman's, you brew the beer. Takes about 8 to 10 hours brew day. It's moved to a fermenter. It goes through fermentation. That's where yeast eats sugar and turns it into alcohol and CO2.
Mm.
So post that. Hops are added. You can add them in the fermentation. You can add them in the kegs. We add them to the fermenter. It's just like cooking. It's like adding spices late in a dish, so you get a lot of aroma.
And for those listeners that do know a lot about this stuff, what hops are you using in this?
Is that,
or is that proprietary?
No. Craft brewers don't have many secrets. We just let it out.
Can someone write that down? I mean, every time we got a brewer on the show, there's always this wonderful kind of, you know, quote, this sentiment that surfaces to the top. Craft brewers don't have any secrets.
So
can we just celebrate that spirit for just one moment? Please. I'm all right.
Okay, now he's going to tell us
now
the
he's
hops.
Now he's going to tell us, right?
So we got to focus here, Matt. It's a one-hour show.
I'm sorry.
It's dry hopped with Chinook exclusively. Mm-hmm. So they are a juicy hop, a citrusy hop. And so the pale ale is very light mouthfeel,
yeah.
Has a little bit of the bitterness, and then the juiciness, the citrus.
You said this is about 65 IBUs?
We're about 65, yeah.
Okay. I thought, yeah, we're about 64. 65?
I was 64 and a half.
I was picking up a 64.
Yeah, I was like 67. I was way overshooting.
So now we talked a little about sort of stylistically the differences, but a lot of people are quite familiar with IPA as sort of a genre, a category. This is an American pale ale. Where do the differences usually lie? Is it in the kind of hops, the time of the period within the process where the hops are introduced? What's the main difference?
It's the ABV, so it's the alcohol content, and it's also the IBUs, the international bitterness units, how bitter it is. So that's a calculation. You can get it scientifically. You can do it mathematically. So that's the difference. It's the pale ale, the American pale ale, is the little brother, little sister of the IPA.
Got it. That's just beautiful.
And I love the fact that, you know, beer came from Europe to America, and American craft beer has now just now exploded, and now we see a lot of craft breweries opening up in Europe.
Exactly.
With American-style beer.
It's just a beautiful cycle. Yeah.
Yeah,
exactly. And that's what we love.
You know, kind of going back to that, the bottle shock story where, all right, France, Italy, Europe had the
wines.
Market corner
exactly.
on the wines.
Yep.
America comes out. They
California.
They start reinventing, tweaking things here and there. It goes back over there. Mm-hmm. Everyone goes, wow, they're nailing it over there. Which is what?
They're winning.
Yes.
Hashtag.
Right. Yeah. Winning. Okay. And we're sending the beers back over to Europe saying, check this out.
Yep.
And they're going, wow, I didn't think of that.
Exactly.
America.
America. There we go again. Well, before we come to the end of our flight, and some might
no.
say, especially if you're Sarah Ritchie, you've saved the best for last, we want to remind all of our listeners that Kyle Jefferson and his charity is going to be providing an opportunity for someone in our listening audience to come experience Pueblo Vida Brewing Company for themselves. Yes, if you are the first person that calls in and answers our weekly trivia question, the first person with the right answer is going to get a gift certificate to experience Pueblo Vida and Kyle Jefferson for themselves. And this is going to be an historic moment, I think, for somebody within our listening audience. And I think it's a fun question. Kyle kind of gave us a little hint as to what it might be, but we're going to be doing that in just a couple of minutes. So someone is in for a big treat, Kyle, to experience Pueblo Vida.
I'm excited.
Just like we are. Okay, so we are now staring down the last, regrettably. Well, it won't be our last. Just because the show ends at 5 doesn't mean we stop.
Hello.
We just rewind and start all over again.
Don't tell the listeners, man.
But anyway, what have we come to? Where have we arrived at for that pinnacle moment in our craft beer tour?
So this is our American Stout, and this is the brew that I'm most proud of to start with out of my first offerings. It's a lower ABV stout. It's at 6.5. It's 40-plus IBUs. It's that high, the bitterness, because it balances the strong malts that are in there.
Mm.
Kind of the tasty notes are roasty, creamy, cocoa.
Mm.
As it warms up, it's a fun beer because it tastes different as it warms. You get a little licorice as it gets warmer. So there's a lot to discover in it. But
that's almost like our co-hosts. You know, as they warm up, they get more fun. I mean, that's just sort of what a lovely coincidence.
Is he, Jason? Do we need to have a chat?
Dismiss.
So, the American Stout.
Correct. It was originally going to be the breakfast stout.
Not just for breakfast anymore, as Jason reminds
it's us. It's not. But we do have plans. We were going to add coffee.
Oh,
there is
goodness.
Coffee notes.
I know.
Yeah.
I told you.
Oh, my goodness.
But we have plans.
But there's no coffee in this.
There's no coffee in
that. Oh, my.
So we are going to do a specialty breakfast stout. We're working with HF Coors to do a really cool mug.
Oh, cool.
That's
aren't those
locally,
guys great?
They're amazing.
I absolutely love HF Coors. And follow them on Instagram, too, while you're at it. And seriously, I mean, and let's just say, let's debunk the myth. Have you actually enjoyed a glass of this stout with eggs and bacon?
I have not yet. That's great.
All of your fans have.
Ooh.
So this is an absolutely beautiful stout. I see my good friend Mike Sump here. He just came in, and we killed a growler of this about 2 weeks ago. And, you know, we love a great stout. Again, perfect time of year with a fire in the fireplace. Crack this open, a couple of great cigars. This is a cigar stout. Jason, you're
indeed.
A man who loves a good cigar.
I am indeed.
Scott, imagine a nice cigar with this stout.
Yes, indeed.
Perfect.
One of those Barber Pole from
the 724s from New Hampshire.
Yes.
Yeah, that's a gorgeous cigar. As a matter of fact, I think that's the one that I had with this stout. Okay, the American Stout. So you've got seven tanks here, or seven, what do you call them, barrels?
Seven barrel system.
Okay, so now you've got four beers on tap.
Correct.
You're working on a couple more? Or
I am.
You want to tease the season a little bit?
So we have our holiday ale that's coming out. It's a strong brown ale. Again, it's very malt forward. It's roasty. It has a touch of honey, toffee, and we're actually gonna age this one on coffee. So we're getting a special blend that has like a brown sugar note to it. So it should add some depth and complexity to it.
Yes.
We're excited to get that out. Hopefully we get it out before Thanksgiving, but no
Can
promises.
You make sure that we break the news when you're ready to do
yes,
that?
I mean, absolutely.
Our advertisers expect us to be newsbreakers.
We should probably come down and test it first to yeah, make
before
sure
it's released to the public.
Clearly, yes. I mean, because we do care about your
we
public.
We do care.
I know
we
you guys care.
And we would just
you would not
sure
want to release beer that might not, you know, just pass the quality
exactly.
control standards.
So the time has come to give away a gift certificate to one of our listeners so they can come in and have a chance to experience Pueblo Vida, have a great craft brew experience, use the money however you want to use it here at Pueblo Vida. So what would be a fun question to ask our listeners this week?
So the question is, the largest and most famous craft beer festival in the United States, I think in the world, where we're looking for the name of it, and where it's located.
Wow. Okay, great question.
So I don't even know this one.
Yeah, so there is one big beer festival, craft beer festival.
Same place every year.
Same place every year. We want to know the name of the event and the place where they have it every year.
Correct.
Two-part question.
Two-part question.
Okay, fellow foodies, you heard it here. If you think you know the answer to the question, give us a call right here, right now. No, Jason, you are not eligible.
Oh.
Put your phone down. 880-KNST, 880-5678 for a chance to win a Pueblo Vida gift card. Stick around. We'll be right back.
Do you realize how many fantastic restaurants are in Tucson? He's your cheat sheet. On the Menu with Matt Russell is on KNST.
And welcome back to On the Menu Live. It's Matt Russell broadcasting live with a stout in my right hand and a cheesesteak in my left here. At
Life is good.
Pueblo Vida Brewing Company, 115 East Broadway, deep in the heart of downtown
Living
Tucson.
The dream, baby.
Scott Letier, Jason Miko, Sarah Ritchie, Kyle Jefferson. It's just like one big happy family down here.
We need to, again,
it's a
3-hour show now.
That's what happens. Well, we got some callers who think they know the answer to the question. Again, the question is, there's one sort of big, the largest beer, a craft beer event in America, perhaps even the world, held every year. We want to know the name of the event and the city in which it is held, same place every year.
Same place every year.
And whoever is the first person to answer that correctly, we're going to give a Pueblo Vida Brewing Company gift card. Again, 880-KNST, 880-5678. We're going to go to line one and see if Mark knows the answer to the question. Mark, how are you?
Hey, great. Good to talk to you again, Matt.
And so what is the answer to the question?
That would be the Great American Beer Festival in Colorado.
Okay, Great American Beer Festival.
That is the
in
GABF.
Colorado. Do we want to...
do we need the city?
Do we need to specify the city? Yeah.
Well, you just said where. I got the state right. It's Denver, of course.
It is Denver.
Okay.
It is Denver. We
All
got
right.
a winner.
Caller one, we got ding, a winner. Ding, Mark, ding, congratulations. Ding.
Fantastic, thanks. I need some coupons for Entourage as well.
I'm sure our buddies at Entourage can help you out on that. Now, let me ask you while I have you on the phone, Mark, have you been to Pueblo Vida Brewing Company yet?
Not yet. I will be very soon, though.
Okay, great. Well, I tell you what, I appreciate your calling. Thanks so much for listening. Thanks for calling. And don't hang up because Kat back at the studio is going to get all your information, and we're going to send that gift card out to you in the mail. You're going to have a great time, Mark.
Thanks a lot.
Thanks so much. Anyway, I want to also say my condolences to our good friend John Farlow, our celebrity co-host extraordinaire, time in and time out. Whenever we do a rum show, he's always the co-host. Anyway, he says, damn, I was caller three. But anyway, John, if you're listening still, I will buy you a beer and treat you to your first Pueblo Vida Brewing Company experience on me. So the Great American Beer Fest in Denver, Colorado. Now, have you been to that event?
I have. Okay. We went about four or five years ago, and it was pretty life-changing. It was
packed.
Incredible. Yeah. There was about 450 breweries, all representing different regions. And Denver, Colorado is such a beer city anyways.
Sure.
Going to the Falling Rock, it's a famous ale house. Went to Great Divide. It's the first place I saw a food truck at a brewery. I think it kind of spawned from there. There were some goofy-looking guys with a stone oven on a trailer, and they made some amazing pie. So I love Denver, so if you get a chance, go to the GABF.
That's right. You know what? We're actually looking quite seriously and have already begun conversations with the coordinators that are actually broadcast this show live from the GABF in Denver next year, so we might have to do some...
yes, please.
I see,
count me in.
I see co-host
I see hands being raised
coming
in
all over
yes.
the place, but that's going to be a blast. You know, my good friend Dennis Arnold from Barrio tells me time and time again how this is just an amazing experience. He, as a matter of fact, I think called it life-changing, just like you did. So I think we got to do a little field trip, guys. So we asked all of our guests during this show to kind of reveal to our listeners their craft beer moments of the week. And I'm going to put you on the spot, Kyle Jefferson, because I'm going to ask you the same question, but I'm going to make all of your own beers ineligible for the answer. So and you're sort of scanning the landscape of craft brewers, not only here in Tucson, perhaps you've had a chance to experience some other brewers across the region, or if not nationally. Is there one beer that you tasted this week that you just thought hit it for you, bullseye?
That's so funny. Because I'm a beer geek, too. I mean, I'm a brewer, but I love the craft, and when I see something that's unbelievable, it's nice to go, wow. So I was actually at 1055 Brewing with JP, and we were there, and he has a special little fridge where he gets gifts from everywhere, and he said, dude, you got to try this IPA out. It's incredible.
I'm writing this. Okay.
And it was
note
from,
to self, ask JP about special little fridge. Okay. I'm writing that
uh-oh,
down.
Now the secret's uh-oh. Out. We said they have no secrets.
So what did you find in the treasure chest?
You know what? It's our neighbor to the east. It was from Albuquerque, and it was called La Cumbre. And it was an IPA out of a can. And so you're usually supposed to drink an IPA out of a glass. You get the aroma. He said, pop the can. And try that, and I took a drink of it, and it's honestly, I've had all the IPAs out there that people rave about. This was the best IPA I've ever had.
Oh my gosh, those are big words.
Wow.
The best IPA you've ever had.
I have ever had.
We need to go visit the magic fridge.
Yes. On our magic bus.
Wow. Yes.
With our magic friends.
Yes.
That's what's happened at 2 minutes until the end of the show. What's the name of the beer again?
It was called La Cumbre. It's from Elevated in Albuquerque, and that's, you know, it's exciting to me for Albuquerque with Marble, with the brews that they have. They had a brewery there called Chama River, and they produced a lot of different smaller breweries from brewers that have brewed there. And so I see that Tucson being that in the near future.
It's going to be. Tell us exactly, for all of our listeners, exactly where you're located here, Pueblo Vida, and quickly your hours of operation.
We are at 115 East Broadway. We're between 6th and 5th downtown. Hours of operation, our tap room's open 7 days a week, 4 to 10 Monday through Wednesday. We are 4 to 12 on Thursday, Friday, 12 to 12 on Saturday, and 12 to 6 on Sunday.
Excellent. Pueblo Vida online as well.
Yes, it's all of our Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, at Pueblo Vida, and our website as well, PuebloVidaBrewing.com.
Kyle Jefferson, thanks so much for hosting. Scott Lazier,
thank you, Mr. Kyle.
Sarah Ritchie,
thank you, Mr.
Jason Miko, always a great time. We're going to keep drinking beer here at Pueblo Vida, so come on out and join us. If you missed any part of this show whatsoever, the entire show is going to be posted to our website early next week at onthemenulive.com. In the meantime, it is Matt Russell and
Jason Miko
and
Scott Lazier
and
Craft Beer Betty
and
Kyle Jefferson
and
Lynette
Antheon. Let's give her some love here on the air. Reminding you, if it is Saturday from 4 to 5,
it's on the menu live.
Cheers. Have a great weekend, Hopheads, and we will see you at Pueblo Vida Brewing Company, 115 East Broadway. Keep it cool, keep it smoking, have a great beer this week, and tell all your friends. Have a great weekend.